Let's get Patrick Dolan on the line here, employment lawyer from Conti and Dolan. And Patrick, miss you, bud. Normally we talk in person, but go Hawks, I guess.
I know. Well, we'll have to do it by phone at least this time. So what you're saying is you don't have a great view of the sunshine out today?
No, I don't. Normally in the building we don't anyways, but when I'm in the basement, certainly not. But I saw it on the way in. It looks great. It's a gorgeous day, maybe not as warm as we want it. But how are things going in employment law these days?
They're good. Everything's really busy. I think hiring is good. We saw those numbers, which looked sort of surprisingly good about the
jobs.
New job. Yeah, that was sort of a shocker. But it dovetails with what I'm seeing. I mean, the layoffs have really slowed down, and those who are laid off come back to me fairly quickly with employment agreements to help them with. So I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I know there's some people in certain fields that still are having a tough time at it. I know a lot of part-time jobs were added, too. But hey, you know, we'll take employment numbers of 300,000 probably any time with the employment or unemployment rate going down to 3.8%. Patrick, I mean, we kind of like last week, was it last week or the week before, we were chatting, and we mentioned the non-compete clauses at the end, and I kind of had you rush through it again. We've talked about them plenty here on the show, but just remind people who think if they're signing a non-compete, it's not, they're not going to enforce me on this one. Is that what you see in real world?
Yes. Like just yesterday, somebody sent me an email saying I have one, but I assume it's unenforceable. That's not a good assumption, John, as we've talked about. Non-competes in Illinois are enforceable. They need to be reasonable in terms of how long they can be. Generally, 1 to 2 years would be considered reasonable. They need to be reasonable in terms of their geographic scope, really only preventing you from working where your former company works. And also with regard to what you do, it really needs to be a competitive activity. But if it's a legitimate business interest that's protectable under the law, non-competes are generally enforceable in Illinois as well as many other states. The states that totally prohibit them, like California, are still very much the exception.
Okay. And what was that that number threshold, that salary threshold again?
The salary threshold is $75,000. So if you make less than $75,000, no non-compete can be enforced against you, no matter how well it's written. And for non-solicits, which we have talked about before, that amount is $45,000.
Okay. 312-91-7200 is our phone number. We love when Patrick's on for you to call with your workplace issues, whether you feel like you're facing discrimination, there's a non-compete thing, something weird is happening at work. That's usually our best callers because we like to hear about your drama and we try and help you out, or at least Patrick does. But Patrick, as we wait for some people to call on in, again, that number 312-981-7200, I wanted to talk to you about this proposed law in California. Basically, the right to disconnect. Have you been reading about this?
I have, and I think it's, I mean, listen, California is at the forefront of a lot of employment law, so this is not particularly surprising. You know, it's...
How does it work? Like, what are they really proposing here?
Yeah, what they're proposing is an employee does not need to respond to any work-related emails, texts, messages, whatever it is, outside of a designated work schedule. Say it's, you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever it is. So you don't have to respond to any employment, any inquiries by your employer after those hours. That's pretty radical, frankly. And the thing that's interesting to me, John, is there's no differentiation between salary, hourly, what you do for a job, that kind of thing. And, you know, there are a lot of salaried folks who definitely work. They don't have set hours, and they work,
right,
you know, well beyond 8 to 5, 9 to 5, and they work on the weekends. They work whenever you know it's required. So I don't know if this is going to pass or how well this is going to work, to be honest. But you know, we'll see.
Well, clear something up for me, Patrick. If you get fired because your boss keeps on emailing or calling you late at night with questions and you don't answer them, they're allowed to do that. I'm like kind of surprised that there can be retribution for not responding after hours.
Yeah, but it really depends, John, on whether you're salaried or hourly. So you need to be paid for the work you're doing, right? That's point number one. But if you're salaried without set hours and you're salaried based on the job and the job requirements and the responsibilities that you have that you need to fulfill, whether it be 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at morning or Saturday or whatever it is. I mean, there are a lot of jobs where you're just working whenever you need to work. So I understand your point, but as long as you're paid, I think it's a law that's going to be very difficult to enforce or so readily touched upon by employees who are seeking to file claims that it's just going to be untenable. I don't know. There needs to be a lot more specificity about who this applies to, I think, for it to work.
And they're not saying that your boss could never reach out to you. They're just saying you can't be, the law proposed hasn't passed yet. It's just saying you can't face retribution for not responding or not engaging with the boss after hours.
What the law says is that it's a violation of the law to require an employee to respond, or as you said, to discipline them for not responding. That's right.
I don't know. I see it both ways. At first, I was very much against the law because I feel like the marketplace works this out. Like companies that respect that difference between home and work and try not to call you too much outside of those hours, those are just going to be places people want to work. Like word gets out, right? But I didn't realize that. I guess it has to be within reason, right? If a boss calls once and I literally didn't have my phone on for a few hours, I'm probably not getting fired anyways. And I guess I could still be fired for that. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is there any real world application to people not responding to their bosses and getting fired? Does that happen all the time? Or does this stuff usually get sorted out just in the general back and forth between bosses and employees?
You know what? I do see people come to me, John, complaining about that. Like my boss wants me to work at all hours of the day and that's not my job responsibility. Those are not my set hours, that's not, why I was hired. That's just not what I have to do. And they think that the boss is demanding something of them that simply is not something they need to do within the requirements of their job. So, no, I talk to people about that pretty often.
Really?
And we have to delve into what it is you do, what is the boss asking you to do? When are they asking you to do it? How often are they asking you to respond to something at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night? So I have those conversations fairly often, actually.
Chatting with Patrick Dolan here from Conti Dolan Law. All right, is there a way to like suss it out in an interview that doesn't make you seem like a lazy worker to try and see if there is a respectful boundary between work and home, or is that not recommended? Otherwise, you're going to seem like someone who doesn't want to go above and beyond to ask those questions.
Yeah. You can talk about hours and responsibilities and stuff like that. I wouldn't really go beyond that in the hiring process, because if you're not hired because you're like, I'm not working after 5 or something like that, that's not really a protectable thing if you're not hired for that. But at least you have a really weak argument. So I would not suggest that. I think you ask the typical questions about working hours and what the responsibilities are.
Go ahead. No, you go first.
I was going to say, and also what the expectations are, because if it's hourly, are you expected to work overtime? If it's salaried, where you just have to do what you're required to do, are folks expected to work on weekends? It's okay, but you can't. I think you have to be careful. You can't be asking the questions, for the employer to think, geez, they're never going to want to work overtime. They're never going to want to work after 5 if they're salaried or whatever. I just don't think you should really give off that sort of air.
847 chimed in with, what about on-call positions? Yeah, on-call, it's almost the expectation that they'll reach out to you when they need you, right?
Yeah, I think that's a carve out. I think that's not going to be something that would be protected by that law or any law like it. And frankly, I don't even know if other states are going to try to copy that California law. But I think maybe they'll look at California and if it's passed, what effect it has and how it actually works out. And something interesting in the law, John, is that it's not a violation if they do this once. It has to happen at least, they call it a pattern. It has to happen at least 3 times for there to be any sort of individual claim or violation of the proposed law. So it has to happen a lot.
You ready for a couple quick questions, Patrick? Let's say you are on call as an hourly employee, but the company's like, hey, we need you on call just in case. Do they have to pay you for that time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the test is really who controls that time. In other words, are you free to do whatever you want during that time, or can you be wherever you want to be? In other words, do you have to be within 10 minutes of a hospital? Do you have to, you know, what exactly is, what, who controls the time when you're waiting around or quote unquote on call? That's the test. So the more criteria the employer puts on you, the more control they have, then it must be compensated because that would be considered work time under state and federal law. So the test is who controls that time and what can you do?
Okay. Another question. If you volunteer to help at an event hosted by your company, does the employer have to provide you pay or comp time?
That depends on how much pressure the company is putting on you for doing that, right? If it's truly voluntary, in other words, there's no negative consequences for you not to do it, then no. But if, you know, there's any expectation that you participate, you know, like other employees, et cetera, then it would be time that needs to be compensated. But it, you know, there's not sort of a hard line answer to that, John. It really depends on that circumstance and, you know, what the company is doing or what are they, you know, forcing you to do explicitly or implicitly about that job.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines with Cheryl. And Cheryl, I just want to say before we get you on here, don't say any company names or anything like that here. We're just going to talk broadly speaking. Cheryl, does that sound good for you? You cool to do that?
Fine.
Oh, let's get Cheryl on. Hey, Cheryl, what's up?
Hi. I'm just wondering, I was unlawfully laid off after working 5 months straight of 70 to 100-hour work weeks.
Jeez.
And then I got COVID through the company, went back for one day, and then they claimed that I needed to be, they mandated everyone back into the office. I had paid time off. It was on the schedule. I'm kind of wondering what my recourse would be, because I don't think those are, that's probably a state labor law, and how long do I have to file a claim?
Cheryl, why did they tell you you were laid off?
They said that I did not have my paid time off in the system in time, but I had talked to my manager about it. We had a conversation. It was on my out of office. It was on our team calendar. It was on my calendar.
And they fired you because you just there was like a snafu with HR about paid time off?
Yes.
Patrick, what do you think about any of that? I know that you probably have follow-ups. We only have about a minute and a half left. So just generally speaking, Patrick.
So there's several issues there. If she said she worked five months straight of 70 to 100 hour, okay, that's, first of all, even if you're salaried, I mean, you know, that could be a serious issue. And if she had to work 7 days a week, that's a violation of Illinois law because you need to be given 1 day off per week, not consecutive, per 7 days, okay? You have to have a day off. If she's fired for taking, was it PTO? I mean,
it sounds like she was fired because of some miscommunication on PTO.
Okay, that's very unusual. There's something else going on there. I don't know if she complained about the fact that she was, frankly, being significantly overworked. And I have serious issues with that under state and federal wage payment law. So if there's any concern that could be retaliation, John, there's a whole bunch of issues to walk through there that I see a lot of red flags.
Yeah, and what about statute of limitations? That was her other kind of question.
So you could file with the Department of Labor for a year, but it could be other violations. It could be longer. Contract violations are a lot longer than that. If there's retaliation or discrimination, that's 300 days from her termination. So it kind of depends on what the claim is, but she has plenty of time to do something about it.
Call Patrick Cheryl at 312-332-7800. We'll say it again before the end of the show if you missed it. 815 wants to know, if you're required to use your own automobile to conduct company business, is the employer required to pay mileage reimbursement?
That depends on if you're going – it depends on if you're going from the office somewhere or if you're going directly to a work site. Because if you're going from the office, It is compensable. I mean, you have to get mileage reimbursement for that. If it's something where you have different sites going from your home, generally you do not, the company does not need to pay you for that mileage.
But if it's something like you're going from the office, you have to go do this thing, we need you to go do it, you're going back and forth from the office, like, of course they should give you mileage for that.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Patrick, who should be calling you?
Anyone with workplace issues, John, if they're concerned about what happened in their hiring, disciplinary action, termination, if they have a non-compete question, if they weren't paid any sort of compensation, including, equity, bonus, et cetera, Illinois laws are pretty good on all this kind of stuff in terms of compensation. So I'd be happy to talk with them about any of those issues.
Right. And the best way to reach you?
312-332-7800.
I just kept on saying it a bunch. I was like, let's let Patrick say his own number once or twice here.
Well, you're so good at it, John. So,
Well, I have a tattooed on my arm, as you said. 312-332-7800 to reach Patrick. That's where you also reach. Karen's the same number, Karen Conti, right?
She is, yep. We're in the same place.
When are we going to do an arm wrestling battle? Well, we'll save that for another day, Patrick Dolan. I think Karen
Conti's
going
to do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it.
All right, Patrick, I got to let you go. We got Hawks coming up. Thanks for joining us, okay?
All right, buddy. Take care.